I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, another week of the NBA season, another major headline, man. It seems like every single week we got a new one, and this one involves the Brooklyn Nets. I'm Joseph Pavone, Sean Dutra here, Joel Pavone, the Cosmic Street Podcast. Steve Nash out in Brooklyn, fired with the initial report, but apparently they came to a mutual agreement. No Steve Nash, and now it's former Celtics head coach Ime Udoka, or suspended Celtics head coach, I guess is the politically correct way to put it. But within the next 24 to 48 hours, it sounds like, according to these reports, all throughout the day, it feels like Nash was fired like 2 days ago now, because it feels like the whole Nash is fired is old news. And now the spark, the big debate around NBA circles is Ime Udoka potentially becoming the newest head coach of the Brooklyn Nets while he's still suspended. No compensation for the Celtics if this were to go down, according to these reports. And Celtics fans are sort of split. You know, there a lot of people not happy about this, at least that part of it. Him, you know, being able to leave and go coach another team. The other angle is Celtics not receiving any compensation for the deal if this were to go down. Where do you guys fall in this conversation? I'm sure we'll spend a whole lot of this episode talking about it. Including Celtics upcoming schedule. Because to me, this means the pressure's on Joe Mazzulla, right? I mean, if it wasn't before, it's on a lot more at this point. And we'll get into that as well. And we'll wrap up this show the way we wrap up every single show here on Causeway Street, where we take our trip around the NBA with Joel, in case you missed it. But yeah, guys, that's what we got, man. First things first, Steve Nash out in Brooklyn. No surprise there, if you ask me. I was waiting for the Brooklyn Nets to go into that one significant losing streak, whether it was five or six games before he was going to be fired. I saw this thing coming before the season even started, but I guess the slow start, I guess beginning the season with the worst record in the Eastern Conference was enough, because it was 2-5, and that was enough for them to say, Steve, we're good with you. This is the 1 year where Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant can prove themselves. This is it, and we're not feeling it up until this point. So, here we are, guys. How do we feel about Ime Udoka potentially coaching the Brooklyn Nets now?
So I look at it from two very different, very conflicting angles, right? The first thing, and maybe we can start here, but like, it's the Celtics' hand in all this, right? Like, the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, if Ime Udoka is getting a job less than 2 months after we suspended him for a year, we still don't know what actually happened. We still don't know, like, the severity of the situation. And for another team to be jumping on and taking Udoka at the first chance they get, it's sort of like in the back of my mind, I can't get it out of my head.
I don't blame you, Sean. I don't blame you. It should be back there because this guy, I mean, does he even get an interview? I mean, I'm with you. I'm thinking the same.
Did the Celtics mishandle the situation somehow?
Right, right.
Is that the thing that's going to be sitting with us? Like, I mean, there's so many other questions. Like, is Joe Mazzulla the guy? Do we have the right people to lead this team? Did ownership overreact? Are we just giving up on the guy that brought us to the NBA Finals for something that maybe was a PR hit but wasn't the end of the world? Or is it the fact that Brooklyn is desperate enough to take on, you know, a sexual, you know, deviant as their coach or whatever happens? Like, all
whoa,
those...
Easy.
You know, all the reports that came out, like, about talking about how this is 100 times worse than anything you would expect. What is the deal? And I think we're going to be sitting here with a lot of those questions, and a lot of those questions go back to, like, the Celtics, you know, first off, suspending him. Second off, the way they handled that whole communication process. And then thirdly, they let him go for nothing to a rival. Like, something smells off about this one.
The hundred times worse thing is now it's like, okay, well, if you may get a job here, Matt Barnes, can you tell us what the hell you heard? Can we let the cat out the bag at this point? If Emay is job security is safe and he's on to his next, you know, chapter of his coaching career, then can we finally get what spooked Matt Barnes so much to go out and make a formal apology and take back his words? Will we ever get that?
Well, I mean, yeah, the Brooklyn Nets, they're desperate, right? This mutual of parting of the ways is bullshit, right? The Nets came to Nash and were like, you're fired. And Nash said, yeah, you're right. I saw this coming. Yeah. Like, it's not rocket science here. And they fucked up when they didn't hire Udoka to begin with, right? Before hiring Steve Nash, they should have hired Udoka. They messed up. So, yeah, they're trying to rectify it now, 2 years later. The Celtics covered themselves. When this whole thing came out that they were going to suspend him, they were like, we're not going to fire him. If he wants to quit and pursue other opportunities, we're going to let him. That's on him, because we're not going to pay him because he's quitting. And you know what I'm saying? So, and he was already taking a big hit money-wise in terms of still being employed by the Celtics but not coaching this year. So you look at it from two perspectives, right? The Celtics, this PR nightmare goes away quickly as possible. Does it answer any questions that us covering the team or Celtics fans have? No, it doesn't, because unless details or a good amount of details surface here, we won't know how bad this was for the Brooklyn Nets to say, fuck it, we don't care. Like, he's going to coach this team. And the Celtics are like, we don't want compensation, because then if as bad as it may have been or reportedly. So then now those microscopes on the Celtics are looking at it as well. How much is ruining the lives or whatever the potential people is worth to the Celtics in terms of compensation?
Yeah. See,
right. It's like, oh, so you're going to put a price on this.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. You're going to put a price on what Udoka did or what for all we know, they're still investigating. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, things are going to come out of the bag at some point, not right away.
I don't necessarily look at it that way because, like,
well, that's why there's three of us.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, very true. We do not agree on no. But I'm thinking this, like, okay, from a Celtics perspective, if you went through the rigmarole to suspend him and not force a resignation or figure out a way to part ways, and you did this whole thing where you're just going to have him sitting there and you allow him to talk to other teams, right? Now, there's one thing that's a certainty, and that...
But hold on. Before you say that, though, what if the Celtics, for whatever it's worth, were like, yeah, you go talk to other teams. Good luck with that. And the Nets are the only team that are like, we don't care.
Yeah, because then it would sound like the Celtics are like, oh, well, you'll be doing us a favor. We don't have to pay this
exactly.
guy. Get him out of here.
Exactly. And you're not forcing them to resign.
No, but we're so disgusted with what you did that we don't want you.
Yeah, it's a game. It was a game of chicken when all this went down. They were like, we're not going to fire him. He says he's not going to resign. Let's see what happens within the next, you know, NBA season.
But I get that. First off, whatever you pay him this year, like, is really not like the biggest deal. And if they're doing it to save money, then that's the same thing as getting draft pick compensation from a team. If you're not firing him and you're going to have him associated with the Celtics as a suspended member of the Celtics, it's the same thing as if you fired him and let him go somewhere else. That's the route to do if you're not worried about it. They're only keeping him because they're paying him.
No, now you sound like Stephen A. Smith. If whatever he did is a fireable offense, sound like
Stephen A. Smith.
No, right? I'm saying like the idea. What you're saying is he was like if whatever he did is worth a fireable offense, great, fire him. But you're only doing to keep him because you know the moment that a coaching position is open in Brooklyn, they're gonna snag him, and this is exactly what's happening right now.
1,000%. But then like. If you're the Celtics and you've already decided I'm not going to fire this guy and I'm not going to pay him the money because I don't want to get the lawyers involved, I don't want to do all this stuff, then like maybe you can just wait for the next coach to get fired and then maybe he wants to go there. Like Steve Nash is the first coach fired 7 games into the season. And then they're knocking on the Celtics door trying to talk to Ime. There's going to be plenty of other openings that happen. The Lakers, the 76ers, probably three teams. Don't want to send him to it all.
Yeah, but you don't think this was happening before he got fired? You don't think this was already in the kind of like already in the works? If the Celtics said you could talk to anybody you want to from when did he get suspended? September.
What do you mean?
No, what I'm saying, but no, you're making it seem like oh they fired him and now they're talking to him. No, you don't think the Nets have been talking to him before?
Oh yeah, no. I think that they said Ime, go if you think you can find another job, go find another job. But the Nets. Just happened to let their coach go first. There's going to be plenty of opportunities that like, yeah, maybe you don't have a ton of leverage right now, but you get you like this whole facade of like, oh, well, if they let him go, the PR nightmare is not over. No, you're going to be playing Brooklyn now 5 times in a season, potentially playoffs times, add 4 more on there, add 7 more on there. And then Ime Udoka is going to be coaching against you. And they're going to be asking you, why did you let him go? And you're not going to let him. Right?
Yeah, but so you're assuming that he's going to actually save it.
This thing goes away if you send him to Utah. This thing goes away if you send him to Oklahoma City. This thing goes away if you trade him to a team that you're not going to see every single day. But now you put him to Brooklyn. We play Brooklyn, and it's already contentious. Brooklyn already hates the Celtics, and the Celtics already hate Brooklyn. Now you throw this into it. It's like these sexual abuse questions about what happened and why was he fired is going to keep coming back to you.
No, it is. Yeah, of course.
If you let him walk to Brooklyn.
No, of course it is. No, we're not saying that part goes away. I'm
but on. You might as well get a draft pick for it. That's what I'm saying. You might as well get a draft pick.
All right. So then you tell me how that looks when that eventually comes to light, and it's going to be like, oh, so that's what so and so's wife was worth, a draft pick.
I don't think it would ever be portrayed that way. And if it is, it'll be a minority because there also is going to be the people that are out there that then say, well, why did Brooklyn hire him? Why did Brooklyn go after him?
Then? Well, then that's on them. That's on them. At the end of the day, that's on them. You don't think Ime is thinking, shit, if I don't take this opportunity, I may never coach ever again.
1,000%. And you think that the Celtics. If they really believed in this, if they really believed in no compensation, we are not going to stand for this. This is absolutely unacceptable. They would have fired him, and they would have fired him and said, we're not paying you, and they would have got their lawyers involved, and they would have figured that shit out in court. But they said, no, we're not going to do that. We want to suspend, and now we're not going to get compensation back where they are getting compensation.
But they're quitting. No, he's quitting. So that's nothing to do. That's Ime's choice.
He is not quitting. He is being forced out.
No, he's not. He's not being forced out. Because if that was the case, he would have left. Then why didn't he resign as soon as he got suspended?
Because he wants a chance to work again.
Yeah. Okay, then. So this is his chance to work again. So he has to resign in order for this to work. It's something that
because if Brooklyn was never on the table, his only chance is to hope that the Celtics change their mind.
Exactly. So in the meantime,
that's on the Celtics, though.
But listen, no. My point is, the Celtics say if we're going to pay him, he's going to be paid whatever the suspended amount is. He's going to be paid not his full salary. But if he quits, if he resigns, then we don't have to pay him anymore. That's somebody else's problem.
But Joel, so that is compensation.
How is that compensation?
Because you're not having to pay him what you were going to pay him.
So then what are you bitching about getting a pick for or not? If it's compensation. Like,
that's bullshit compensation.
But the Nets have shitty picks anyways.
But that's what Sean is saying. Sean is saying is like, wait a minute, we're only getting compensation because someone stepped at the table and grabbed him. You know what I mean? Like, as opposed to, you know, let's get some real compensation and get a draft pick or at least something out of it so we can say, you know, hey, we have to face you guys. You're a division rival. You might be potentially in our way. And all because this guy made a mistake. It's like if you're in the Celtics, you're like, wait, so you make a mistake. We try to do the right thing. You end up, you know, a rival of ours or leading a rival of ours and you beat it. You know what I mean? I see the logic behind this, Sean, but I don't know, man. I'd be surprised if the Celtics were like adamant and were to go to the NBA and say, oh, we want something out of this deal. I don't know. I don't know if that would look great on their part.
I don't think they can go to the NBA, but I do think they could say suspended players have been traded before and they've been compensated. So this whole myth of, oh, well, it would look bad if they asked for compensation, I think is bullshit, because at the end of the day, it is a business and they could have walked away with no compensation and taken the high road and fired his ass and just give him his money and let him go, or take him to court and say, we're not paying you for wrongful whatever, like whatever they call that, like
the wrongful termination.
Well, that's what Ime would have sued back, but I'm saying they would have said,
then, no, then details of what honest. Happens comes out, which they don't want.
Right. So there's another side of this whole thing too, is what did the Celtics do wrong to have them want so bad to keep everything under wraps for them not to ask for compensation or not to fire him or not to go to court? What did they know that they didn't say or they didn't act upon until the last possible minute?
I want to play this guessing game, Sean. Let me play.
All right, go ahead.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right. Who is... The Celtics knew during the postseason, or they caught wind of it, and they just turned a blind eye.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking. They're on this run. They made it to the Eastern Conference, or maybe finals, whatever. It drops, and they don't act on it right away. They let it ride.
You know what?
Or it was happening before that, and then during the playoffs. Oh, and they told them to chill the fuck out, and then during the playoffs, they're like, "Seriously, you're still doing this shit? Like, didn't we tell you to chill the fuck out? Now we got to launch an investigation because you know you didn't listen the first time."
Yeah.
No, the investigation definitely happened in the summertime, but yeah, it could have been that too. They warned him during or before the postseason, and you know that warning fell on deaf ears. That could be it too.
Like,
there's a lot of things that could be it. But you know what's interesting though? When this report first came out about Ime being, you know, the top candidate and you know he was going to be allowed to from the Celtics. You know they weren't going to try to block that throughout the article. Woj mentioned again the messages, right? Because that was the part, that was like the second part of this whole thing in the beginning, back in September, right? There was the I always say vulgar, but it's just wrong. Crude language text. I thought it was interesting that he brought that up again in this report, saying that, like, you know, almost as if he wanted to everyone to remember that was the part that didn't sit well with the organization the most. Like, that was the part that pushed the Celtics into thinking, like, we have to suspend this guy. We have to take lengthy measures with this thing, because that was the part that just didn't sit well with the organization. I mean, that was the second part of the report. And I thought it was interesting that as soon as this happens, and as soon as there's a report about him getting a new job, that Woj put that into the story again. So it was like, well, what is the message? Because obviously it was a subordinate. Was this something that was flirtatious? Was it something that was like, either you do this or I'm going to fire you?
Yeah, forceful.
Like, it could be so many things, because then if that's the case, because obviously we're always quick to think it's the absolute worst. But maybe it's, I mean, okay, let me rephrase that. we're seasoned to think that it's sexually related, or that it's some sort of innuendo of their relationship. But maybe it was something that was just like demeaning. Maybe it was something that was, you know, a combination of the two.
Degrading.
That a woman could say, look, this guy not only had, you know, that significant power over me, but he also didn't make my life easy throughout this 6-week period or whatever, what was going on between him and this female staff member. This is so much. There's so much there. And I just thought it was interesting that Woj put that in there, because it was just like, you know, there's a part of this that really forced the Celtics' hand into suspending him. And that's how this whole thing went down. But we don't know. We don't know the whole fact. We don't know the whole story.
So I think that, and, you know, we can talk about this till in the face, because we don't know what the hell happened. But the way this is all playing out in my eyes, it almost seems as though that Brooklyn somehow knows that the details of what happened won't come out, because neither Ime nor the Celtics want them to. So even when Ime goes to the Nets, and Ime may be the one telling them this, right? Trust me, they're not going to want any of this stuff released. If I come over here, it doesn't matter how long I'm here for, whatever. The shit's not coming out, because it's going to make the Celtics look bad too. Like, I feel like there's a lot of that in play right now, with a lot of, like, the way they're going hush-hush about it. And a world of leaks and a world of anonymous sources and a world of all these things that we always find out the truth. This is the one situation that we're not going to do it, like, because both parties are very committed to not letting it come out. So I just feel like there's a lot of that in there, and draw the conclusions you will, but I don't think that the Celtics benefit at all about any of this coming out. And I think they're very adamant on it. And it's probably, to your point, Joel, of why they haven't asked for any compensation, is they just want it to be moved on. And that's that, because if it does get to the point of them having to make that decision of firing him versus, and him suing, and then, to Sway's point, once it goes to the court, that's all public. That's all public record. All
public record, yeah.
People are going to start knowing. That doesn't benefit the Celtics at all, and it's
and sort of doesn't benefit him either.
Oh, it definitely doesn't benefit him. It wouldn't benefit him at all, because he's the guilty party. But yeah, if we're talking about lack of oversight, lack of moving in at the right time when you find out about it, previous knowledge of something that's a fireable offense, and you didn't act on it right away, that then comes to organizations like the what was the baseball team that had that happen to? There was a baseball team that had people chopping on the chopping block because of those things that happened in their organization that they were slow to act on. And in the world we're living in today, man, that shit just doesn't fly. So
yeah, I mean, look,
my last point. I'm not saying I'm happy the Celtics dealt with it the way, and they tried to make a stand against it, but the way they're acting now doesn't really fully go all the way to, like, stand on that side. And that's when you sort of start to question that. So.
Well, I mean, we'll see when this, if this irons itself out within the next day or two, then we'll know more so of, like, what the Celtics stance is on Ime as a coach going forward. Right. But Ime's going into a situation where it's a mess over there in Brooklyn, no matter how you look at it. Right. So they're like, he's going to be the savior. And if he doesn't succeed right away, then how long is he going to last? Who's going to leave first? Kyrie or Ime? If shit continues down this path.
Oh, Kyrie probably, man. Honestly, I don't think Ime. I think Ime's got the job for the rest of the year, at least.
I know what I'm saying. At least for the rest. Yeah, I know. But like,
I know. I think you're asking the wrong question. I think is it Ben Simmons or Ben Simmons.
Nah, man. Ben Simmons is there for the rest of that contract. Ain't nobody touching that contract with a fucking 10-foot pole, bro.
Simmons said about a house.
I'm the Celtics.
Set up shop. He might even start a family. Like, he's
man. He don't need to shoot a basketball ever for the rest of this time
if
in Brooklyn.
If I'm the Celtics, I'm like, yo, let's just throw an email for Ben Simmons straight up. Who says no?
Celtics Nation.
He wouldn't leave Boston in tears, bro. You know the city would rip him to shreds.
Oh, no, it would just for him to be like a punching bag. That's all we want him for, dude. That's all.
See, I want to see how this whole thing plays out in the locker room, the Celtics locker room, because let's face it, we're not even anywhere near, you know, midseason. We're not even near that point where the sun isn't shining anymore, you know?
Yeah.
The whole, like, oh, you're the brand new coach, and oh, you're only 34, and man, we didn't expect this, but we're going to all have each other's back when everyone's tired 2 months into the season. You lost four or five games in a row. Who's to say people in that locker room are going to be like, well, wait a minute. Yo, why? Where the heck is our coach? Like, what? Ime was the one that got us through this tough time. Ime was the one that used to put these pieces together that got me to a point of, you know, mentally that I need to be. Yo, we need Ime back. Yo, why did this whole thing happen? Why didn't we have more of a say in this whole thing? And look how fast this thing happened where he was suspended for not even 2 months or maybe a little over 2 months, and he's already got a new job. We might have to face these guys in the playoffs. They're taunting us. They're climbing up the Eastern Conference standing. Like, we don't know. We don't know. This team could completely turn on Joe Mazzulla. You know, it's all cute right now, but we're only 2 weeks into the season, and they just grabbed their first double-digit win of the season. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in a month.
Well, maybe that's another key to this. Like, all right, they can take the interim label off. Now he's the head coach. And
too soon, man.
I understand that. I understand that. But then, well, what do you do? If Ime does go to Brooklyn, what do you keep the interim fucking head coach title on him?
No, bro.
That's a great point.
It's not a great point because obviously it's freaking.
I'm
not talking about a label. I'm talking about a freaking responsibility.
I get it, but then that goes along with it. That's what I'm trying to say. It's going to be a Joe Mazzulla identity team. It's not Ime's team anymore. It's Joe Mazzulla's team.
Like, right, but it was always that, Joel. My point is, now, like, this is it. Like, there's no, like, oh, if things go south, he might come back. Oh, no. Like, that's out the window. Like, this has been Joe Mazzulla's team from the moment that Ime was suspended. I mean, Brad Stevens and you know, the owners, and for them to go out and just right away, they're like, no, this is our guy. We're not going to be interviewing anyone. I thought that was a good approach and putting him in that position. But now, from a player's standpoint, it's like, man, we didn't really have much of a say in this thing. And whatever this guy did, Brooklyn thinks it was cool. Why does Boston not think the same?
But don't you think that kind of helps?
I'm looking at it from a player's perspective.
I get it. But don't you think the players, like, now could kind of, like, not have that at the back of their mind? Like, oh, maybe Ime's coming back. Maybe, you know, we can still get in contact with Ime. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, now it's like, oh, okay. Now we can actually close that chapter, move forward. Whatever happens this year, happens this year. And we're not going to be asked anymore about Ime Udoka because it is what it is.
Well, they're going to be asked about him a lot every time the Nets Boston.
Nets. I'm talking about like how many times this season so far, when especially those two losses when they blew double digit leads in the second half. What was always brought up? How's this team different from this year compared to last year defensively? Those type of questions.
I think what you're saying, Joel, but I don't think that changes the fact that the Celtics are going to have to deal with the pressure for performing without Ime being their coach. And it even almost intensifies it now that he's going to be coaching a division rival that see him every day. So, like, if all of a sudden Ime goes to the Nets, right?
That's silly. If you're worried about the Nets, then that's silly.
No, but listen, if the Nets go win 10 straight after Ime goes there, they go on some type of run. They start to click. You don't think that Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to be sitting there being like, that's our coach, man. What the fuck? If he can go coach, coach is. So I'm going to say, I didn't think about that.
He's giving them our secrets. Like, you know, they're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously I'm joking about the secret part thing, but it's just like, man, that guy was such a key part of our identity last year. The team that reached the finals. Now we got to watch him lead a whole nother team, two future Hall of Famers.
And they're still like us. They don't know the whole story because that's what it seemed like with that media.
Well, you're right. But that, at the same time, like, given what their mindset since like media day, it's like, you know, we already were two wins away from winning the championship. Like, our only focus, or at least that's what they were trying to give off to the rest of us, is to get back to the finals. And if you said, yeah, of course, it's part of bringing it back in their minds. But like, if they really are just focused on what Brooklyn's doing and why Ime's over there, then that's not good.
Yeah, but it's like they haven't even faced adversity yet. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't even been like,
maybe this is it.
fact that Ime is got a new head coaching job and now is also in a division rival, you're going to see a lot. Plus the Kyrie.
I get it, but you guys are you know, going off the fact that like he's going to turn that team around like this.
Puts a lot of pressure on Mazzulla. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like now Joe has to be the guy. Or they just gave up on a guy who obviously can still coach in the NBA. Why isn't he not coaching?
Well, then Mazzulla,
the success of Brooklyn is almost irrelevant in my opinion. My whole thing is when shit is down, when things are down and when they're like, man, like, you know, because we know shit was down last year, right? 500 team, below 500 at one point, and Ime was that guy. They haven't gone through something like that without Ime being their guy, without Ime in their corner, you know?
And say what
and shit. And who knows? Maybe these guys had like a text line or something. Hey, you don't know. It wouldn't shock me if he was still Tatum or Brown or Marcus still in contact with this guy.
Almost definitely. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
That's out the window now. If he's the head coach of the Nets, Ime's like, I can't talk to you guys anymore.
No, you're right.
It'll be interesting.
So then it's up to, yeah, so you're right. I agree with you on that. But so then it's up to Joe to take in that pressure and put his fingerprints on this roster. That's just.
The guy who's only been the head coach of a D2 college school. Well, that's a lot of pressure. Man.
Most pressure that the Celtics, the way they've handled the situation, they're putting more pressure on their rookie head coach than needs to be the way
big
they.
Time.
Right, that's the thing.
All right, so then if they hired Joe Mazzulla last year instead of Ime Udoka, I completely agree with both of you guys on that. But this team has already been through a bunch of shit for them just to be like, oh no, what was us? Like we lost our head coach, and now we're not gonna function as a team. Like you know, I don't think that's gonna be that big of an issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I hope not, but it's definitely in play. It's in play.
All right, let's look ahead. Let's see who's on the docket here for this Celtics team. Like I said from the top, Celtics grabbed their first double-digit win against the Washington Wizards. And the reason why I put it that way is because I just thought it was so significant for this team because obviously for a while throughout that game, defensively, the Celtics looked top-notch. You know, top-notch defense. Yeah. The Celtics have to get – look, I get it. I know you're probably screaming at your podcast right now. Robert Williams not there. I get that. But, man, the way this team was blowing leads, it just didn't sit well with me. It really didn't. And I feel like that was such a good – you know, that was the kind of win that this team needed right before going to avenge a loss, right? I know Sean doesn't hate that. But, anyways, like, that's the reason why I said that. And I just thought – They put together that win in a way that made me feel like, all right, well, let's see if you guys can do it again. You know, let's see if you guys can take that first initial step into rediscovering that defensive identity that you were last year. So we'll see. So well, it was good. It was a good win.
I also think it was a really good win, and we'll get to the next couple of games here in a minute. But I think, like, it was a really good win because that's the type of team last year that when we had – because we – those two games against the Bulls and the Cavs, they were very much so early last season vibes of like, okay, we look good and then we just stop playing. Like,
right.
Then like you would get to that Wizards game and it would go down to the wire and you'd lose at the buzzer or some shit like that, right? Like right. That last year. And I think, yeah, being able to just be like, hold on, we're way better than these teams. Like, let's put our.
Yeah. No, you're right. And the good thing also about that is, I mean, let's not kid ourselves here, right? They're still getting outscored in the paint. They're still getting out rebound, but the combination of hitting threes, moving the ball, playing like that hard-nosed D that's creating, you know, transition points and fast break opportunities. Like, that's the Celtics. That's the Celtics that made it to the finals last season. And if you see more of that, it can't just be them just, you know, shooting their way back into games when they, you know, lose these double-digit leads. It's got to be that hard-nosed defense from jump. Like, that's the only game of the season where they led from tip to the end of the game. So
And Joe Mazzulla actually called a timeout when the lead went down to eight. See? Unlike the
he's learning.
Against Cleveland or the game against Chicago. No, who was the other loss?
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
Huh?
Chicago.
Chicago, right? Yeah, the one against Chicago. Oh man, like
both of those losses were.
He had a 19-point lead. And it just kept going down to the 11 and 8, 5.
He's like, they got this.
At any moment, you could call a timeout.
He's like, no, they got this. No, trust me, they got this.
Yo, Ime would have called three throughout that entire comeback. He would have been, it would have right around, just like the way I said it too, like 11 point.
And Brad would have.
No. The first one from 19 point lead down to 16 timeout. And then down to like 10, another timeout. And then like, before it's a two possession game, one more timeout.
Then he would have burned the timeout on a challenge that he never used to win. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah, this dude just hoarders timeouts. Like, he wins challenges.
Yeah. And then he wins challenges. Timeout. He's like, yes, I didn't waste a timeout. Hell yeah.
It's like, yo, Ime had a chance, he would have burned all his timeouts on challenges.
Joe Mazzulla was that dude on the high school team that, like, if you got caught in the backcourt on a double team and you caught them out, he'd be like, dude, we're going to need those later.
Yo. Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Yeah, you get in your face. Yo. Why'd you call that? We're going to need that timeout.
Try to throw the ball off somebody and, you know, that you would have saved the timeout right there.
I was right here.
I
know, right?
I'll let you don't pick up your fucking dribble, right? Right.
It's called a press breaker. Use it, all right, bro? Coach, I called for the press breaker. You weren't where you're supposed to be.
Nah, seriously. Anyways, the weird thing is, looking at this, looking ahead. So ready, we looking at it for the first time this year. Love it. Something's got some revenge action going on, dude. So
yeah, they do.
First game we got tonight versus the El Cavaliers in Cleveland, which is
home of the Steamers.
Oh, home of the Cleveland. Steamers. You know, Terry Francona loves the Cleveland Steamers now. Love Terry.
They missed an opportunity there. Instead of the Guardians, you know, they should be called the Steamers. But hey, you know.
1,000%.
You can't win them all. You can't win them all.
What was that? What was that we used to call it? We had the guest on.
The million and one questions.
One questions. Yeah.
It was always between Cleveland and in Oakland.
The Warriors.
Yeah, Cleveland Warriors. Yeah. Sometimes we have to ask Kid Cudi versus E-40, bro. Like, how do
you... I should have told E-40 about that when he met Max.
No, but I love catching the guests off guard when you were like, you know, would you prefer Cleveland Steamer? And they're just like, whoa.
Whoa. Hey.
Hey now.
Remember when we had Nick on? Nick goes, wait, am I the one receiving it? Yo.
The only one that was like, wait a second. Am I the pitcher? Let me see. What's going on here? What's going on?
The only one that didn't completely pretend we didn't talk about it. We didn't ask.
Come on. You're giving away our secrets. Come on, dude.
Anyways.
He's like, I got a follow-up.
Yeah. Who's getting steamed?
Who's getting steamed?
Yeah, so I don't know who's getting steamed.
Sean goes, what did you say? You said something funny. You were just like, it's up to you, man. You tell us. Yeah, no,
surprise us.
Whatever tickles your fancy, my man.
Yeah, right.
Go nuts.
You tell me.
Shout out to Nick. Yeah, shout out to Nick. El Capitan.
I don't know, Nick. Who's steaming who? You tell me.
I know, right?
That's got some early season playoff vibes to it, especially with like the how good the Celtics looked early in that game versus the team that we thought was going to, I mean, or at least I thought was going to be a really big contender in the East this year.
Well, you mean the backcourt duo that dropped fucking 82 points on you? Yeah. Man, you better be so pumped up for this game. I'm looking at you, Marcus.
Yeah.
You better be so pumped up for this game that you're ready to make a statement and show them who's boss. I'm looking at you, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Like, man, I want both of these guys out there. Well,
Make KG eat his words.
For Malcolm's case, I mean, he didn't. There's only so much you can control when you're not, I don't know, playing. Like, man.
Oh yeah, he barely played that in the second half. I remember that.
Put him on the bench in that end of the fourth quarter, going into overtime, and you unleash Luke Kornet into overtime minutes. Like, I just thought the whole thing was just a bad way to do coaching, in my opinion.
That was a Bobby wet dream there when Luke stayed.
But I've moved on. I've said enough about the decision. I spent post game. I talked about it during a podcast with Mac. I talked about it post game on Sunday. And on Sunday, I said I'll let this one go. So this is me saying it again and on the podcast. I'll let it go. But Mazzulla, don't let that happen again. We'll never let that shit happen again.
I was too. Is Von Leigh hurt or some shit? Where the fuck was he? Why are you putting Kornet in?
Like, don't even get me started, bro. Don't even get me started.
Okay. Question mark, bro.
I'm a huge, huge Noah guy.
Question mark. I don't know.
But we'll see who outplays who, you know? We'll see. But, you got to remember, Grant was suspended, though. That's a big part of this.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it.
Again.
I'll
let this one slide. Exactly. You didn't have your old... You know, didn't have all your troops. Maybe Luke was really impressing you in practice that week.
No. There's no chance that you're going to look at a front court of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen and think Luke Kornet is the fucking answer. No.
I'm saying. And every time those two, either one, was in the paint, it was like they saw it was gravy. It was like, oh, I got this guy on me. It was an automatic layup. This guy was a turnstile in the paint.
You might as well put Marcus Smart as the five at that point. That's a better chance of stopping them too than why? What is the fascinating? Oh,
We digress. Okay. Who the Suns have next? Who the Suns have next?
Anyways, Celtics Cav, that's a big one.
It's a national TV game too.
Stay patient, Noah.
Yeah, bring hashtag free Noah.
Free Noah, baby.
Yo, I'm about 2 weeks away from making a T-shirt if shit doesn't change.
Free Noah, not joking.
He can man up against Joel Embiid and do a decent job. He can handle Mobley and Jared Allen.
Right.
Let's figure that
out. I'm like Joey. I call him Joey now. I'm like, Joey, you don't see those Bobby Portis vibes from Von Leigh? Like, come on, man. Like, Von Leigh can get people's faces. He can knock down the three.
He's
so raw, right? He's not as polished as someone like Bobby Portis, but man, I see it. I really do.
But he's motivated. He's motivated to stay in the league.
He ain't scared. And that's what you notice in his play. Kornet literally looks like, I know I'm not supposed to be on this court. Like, I know
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
You want me to go in now, coach?
His knee's shaking, bro. His palms are sweaty.
That whole jumping 40 feet away from the three-pointer, that literally made me want to jump through the three to TV and just punch him in the ball sack. Like, that was, like, what are you doing?
You went a little, all right, okay.
that was a bit much.
That's a bit aggressive, but okay.
You know it's a bit aggressive? Luke Kornet playing real minutes in an NBA game. Anyway.
You know what else is aggressive, though? When Donovan Mitchell freaking climbed the steps and fucking dunked on Luke Kornet like it was his job.
Oh, man.
No, but he got blessed on by JB. JB had his back on that. It's all good.
Yeah, JB got it back, but still at the same time, like,
yeah, when someone who's 6'4" dunks over someone that's 7'1", that's just art, you know? It's nice.
Let me just put it this way. Would he have dunked on Von Leigh like that? Nope.
Don't think he would have.
Nope. I don't think so.
Man, my man got dunked on twice. Two times. Yeah.
Two times.
Anyway.
All right. And then speaking of revenge, the Celtics can avenge their first loss of the season against one of the deeper teams in the league, the Chicago Bulls.
Stop making that a thing. That's not a thing. Stop trying to make that a thing. That's not a thing.
It's a thing.
It's not a thing.
One of the deepest teams in the league.
No, it's not. It's not a thing.
They are not top heavy, but they are deep. Okay? I will give them that.
There's two main guys, main culprits, and everyone else is just the rest.
On the Bulls?
Yes.
Oh, my fault. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Cleveland. Sorry.
On the Bulls, when healthy, DeRozan, Vucevic, and LaVine is a solid, not top heavy. Now, I'm not saying top heavy. These guys are very.
I thought you're talking about Cleveland.
Yeah, no, I get it. They got, you know, Bobby Davidson running the bench. I get that, but.
Davidson, you got DeMusa, you got Dragic, you got Caruso, you got and Andre Drummond. You got a little bit of.
You gonna bring up Andre before Javante?
Javante gets minutes, but he really just defends. That's about it. But hopefully, he makes it into the dunk contest this year if he's getting real runs.
Yeah, no, man, he had a crazy dunk. Last week or so, he's been doing the those breakaway steals, and he just does his thing at the end of this week. Yeah, I would love that. I would love to see him dunk on.
No, you do love to see the former Celtic and.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Shout out to Javante. I got to catch up with him when he was for select games throughout the playoffs. He said Tatum would hit him up, but I'll never forget the last time I spoke to him because he said, "Yeah, man, but I don't know if you're gonna see me for a while because it was after a loss." I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Yeah, every time he calls me. They lose. I don't think you'll call me again, bro." I was like, "Oh shit!" So, I guess Tatum's a little superstitious, so yeah.
Good.
Shout out to Johnson.
So that is in Boston, and then back to back, we get our first look at the New York Knickerbockers. We go to Madison Square Garden to take on the Knicks on the 5th, which is presume. I know it's Saturday. On Saturday night, we got a Madison Square Garden.
So Saturday, bro. I'll be out there.
Oh, that's not a bad little trip. Is the tree going to be lit up in New York? Then they were right around that time.
Nah, I think they do it like the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, shit. All right.
Like everyone else should do, by the way, fuckers.
Yeah, I know a couple people that got their tree up already. Can you believe that shit?
No, you kidding me? Dunkin' Donuts has already switched over. So, you know everyone's doing the same.
On Halloween, I got a large hot coffee Dunkin' Christmas cup. I was outraged.
Wow.
Outraged.
I couldn't even get my pumpkin spice a couple days ago.
Oh.
Yeah. I like pumpkin spice.
You know what I've been messing with?
Yeah, because they started selling pumpkin spice that like right after the 4th of July. That's why.
Yeah, they also fucked that up too.
They go August. Yeah, they really fucked that up. They do go that August. That's true.
Like, can you?
Hey, that's my one basic bitch trait. So yeah, I like pumpkin spice.
Sway, you know about the? Okay, totally. But we're talking about pumpkin spice. You get the hot hazelnut coffee with a shot of pumpkin swirl in that bitch.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
that used to be his shit in college. Yo. He was all about the hazelnut. One time I got French vanilla in front of you, and you got so mad.
I'm a big hazelnut guy. When I made Sway order, when you were driving, I remember the first time, you were like, "What kind of coffee you want?" I was like, "Yo, give me the hazelnut." And you're like, "What is wrong with you, bro?" You're so thrown up.
I was all about the French vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah, basic.
Then I became a hazelnut guy. But yeah, but when it's in season, I like the pumpkin.
Weird. All right, so.
Caramel swirl, too.
I know we've talked a little bit about the Cavs and the Bulls, but what do you guys think about the Knicks this year? They're 3-3. They seem to have a little bit more cohesion than they did last year. Jalen Brunson comes in.
It's the Knicks, yeah. It's the Knicks.
I'm just saying, I don't think as a contender, but as a player.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I think they're starting to form that that continuity, that sort of identity to a certain extent, right? I think it was really important for Brunson to get off to a right start, and he has. So I think that's good because there was a lot of I don't want to say that the Knicks fans were divided, but there was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of like, is this just going to be like the other signings, you know, where we get all excited and then you let us down? And, you know, at the time, people were kind of thinking, well, is Brunson, is that a max guy? Like, yeah, he could be the second or third best player on a championship team, but is he good for this team? I think the people who are skeptical, they're believers now, or at least they're intrigued by it. So they're off to a good start. You know, that's good for them.
Yeah,
that's important. That's important for an organization that's hated itself for a long time, or at least the fans have, you know, hated the way the organization has made a decision in the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, but the Knicks had to sign somebody, so it's, you know.
Yeah, but
well, you can do a lot worse than Brunson, bro.
I mean, Dallas.
They had been a lot worse than Brunson.
Dallas, you know, didn't think that he was worth the max.
I'm just saying, if you're going to talk shit about Brunson, don't do it to me and Sway, because he was a key cog to our fantasy team last
year. When he was on Dallas, I know, but.
That's true. It's at the mattress. I'm like, why are you such a Brunson? Because you used to study his game, the games, for a whole season.
also, too. So,
I studied his progress throughout his stint in Dallas the last 2 years.
The interesting thing about the Knicks is they have yet to score under 108 points in any game this year. They can score, but goddamn, they cannot defend. They have given up. They have given up over a hundred. They're basically right.
120, right?
120 points a game they're giving up.
Yeah, 120. Yeah.
Which is just.
That's what they do.
Which is like, okay, cool, like great. Brunson, not a good defender. Like, we know that he's an undersized defender. And then you got
Randall. Robinson's good.
You got Barrett. Robinson's good. Yeah, Robinson's good, but the rest of the team.
He's been a good rim protector.
And Rose ain't playing no defense nowadays, so it is what it is with them. But
He's like, I'm not still in the NBA because of my defense, guys. Come on now.
I know, right? It's like, you know, the Knicks, they're still as bad as they've been for, you know, decades. They're still, you know, one of the most like valued, you know, highest valued like sports franchises in the world. And I just don't understand that. Like, people are still watching this. People are still paying to go see the Knicks.
Now, you get a team that can sort of, like, as a Knicks fan, the biggest market in the United States, and they have some players, and they're spending money. And to be honest, look, I mean, Joel, going into a tough back-to-back of the Bucks and the Cavs, they were 3-1 going into that. Now, they lost to both of them.
But man, but
I'm just saying, like,
no, I see what you're saying, but that's
there's
like
some buzz.
It's not, yeah. There's some buzz until, like, you know, until that Christmas, and then they're like, yeah, this team blows.
I think the biggest thing that I'm going to be looking for the Knicks this year is, like, are they going to trade Julius Randle, which I think they definitely will. Try to get some type of draft picks or cap space or whatever, because as great as he is, he's sort of fallen out of favor there, even though they basically were praising him as the next big thing in New York just 2 years ago. So
yeah,
it'll be a good Saturday night. And that's interesting. I should try to get to the fucking city for that shit, man. Let's go. Let's want to take a road trip, Joel. What are you thinking?
To NY? Yeah, let's talk after the show.
Yo, come through. Let's go.
I'm just saying, it's a random weekend. I ain't got shit going on, dude. Like, yeah.
I don't even have a ride plan, so I could come along.
Oh,
and it's the second night of a back-to-back, so we can leave Saturday morning early. I don't know. We'll talk. Tune into Causeway After Hours to hear the rest of this conversation.
Yeah, conversation never stops.
it wasn't even Brooklyn. It was New York. Yeah.
It wasn't even the Knicks. It was Brooklyn. Yeah,
and then we just got into the story.
We got the Cavs revenge game, dub. Bulls revenge game, dub. Knicks. Of the Knicks, dubs. That's 3-0.
Shocker! That's what you got him undefeated.
Joe Mazzulla starts as a.
Yeah, what are you about to say right now? what do you got?
7-2 team.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about.
Nah, Joe Mazzulla starts as 7-2 as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. That's probably one of the best starts out there. Just putting it out there, but
yeah, if it happens,
yeah, 3-0.
2-1.
Who did they lose to?
I think they lose to the Knicks.
What?
Yeah, something about the Knicks. So.
They can't lose to Cleveland. They have to beat Cleveland. That's a must-win game early in the season for me.
I agree, but I don't know. It's gonna be tough, man. Mm-hmm.
By the way, while we're recording this podcast, Brooklyn is about to lose their sixth game of the season.
My sixth.
Yeah, they are.
Ime Udoka, I'm telling you, man. Like, see, the one thing that I get a little worried about is that the Nets can't do much worse than they're doing right now. So Ime comes in and they go and they win by
just to change itself, right?
Just change something and like get some type of stability. and like dealing in chaos with that team like to do. And by the way, we haven't even talked about Kyrie Irving yet, and I hope we do soon because he has played.
Yeah, we'll get an update.
Absolute dog doo doo tonight in this game, and I don't think it's unrelated to that whole. So very interesting. What you guys got for the record though? 2-1.
We just said 2-1.
Oh, you said Knicks? You said Knicks. I forgot. You said Knicks, yeah.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, look, just touch on the E-Main thing. You also got to remember that the majority of the players on this team were around a couple years ago when he was an assistant, right? So you also have that, and these guys are going to be like, we saw what you went through, obviously, and the backlash and all that, and I feel like they're going to want to – that's going to inspire them to turn the narrative around, right? To put forth the effort and try their best to turn this season around because they know that it's gonna show them in a good light and obviously it's gonna help out Ime and show them that they can do it, that they can prove people wrong. So we'll see. But anyways, let's take a trip around the NBA with Joel's In Case You Missed It.
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 Joel, what were we missing?
In case you missed it. The Brooklyn Nets have lost again, 2-6 now. Breaking news as we're recording this podcast, and so far, it doesn't look like Kyrie is gonna, you know, talk to the media yet. Probably will not, if I had to guess. Obviously, the big news today: Steve Nash out. Most likely, Ime in over the weekend.
Yeah, by the way, hold on, real quick. I thought it was funny that someone had to felt the urge to mention. By the way, the firing Steve Nash has nothing to do with the Kyrie Irving. It's like. Well, no shit, bro. I didn't think that.
I love how they asked Steve Nash about Kyrie's tweets and whatnot. And he's just like, yeah, you know, we're kind of just, you know, we're like immune to you know, to Kyrie's behavior and his comments. So it's like, no big deal. Whatever. Whenever
Kyrie's like, immune to what? Fuck? What'd he say?
He's like, we're immune to Kyrie.
Yeah. Like pretty much like, yo, we know he's a shithead.
Like, it's like we kind of just ignore that shit around here, you know? Let the media just run with it.
Kyrie's like, that's how we feel about you, motherfucker.
Yeah, right.
By the way, who was that journalist that went after Kyrie? That was my favorite thing.
Nick
Friedel.
Friedel, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to him. He held his own, man. He did
the back and forth, yeah.
ESPN Nick Friedel. Yeah, that's huge.
I talked to him a lot during the series last year. He was there covering the team last year.
Yeah, because he was like, wasn't he a Laker on the Lakers beat for a while and then he moved over there?
I don't know, bro. I don't really know his bio like that, but I just know he just covers the net.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I knew, you know, players didn't have Steve Nash's back somewhat after he went apeshit when they played the Bucks and he got ejected. And as only assistant coaches were trying to calm him down, there was one Nets player. His last name is O'Neal. I forget his first name. It escapes you right now. Royce O'Neal was trying to go, like, you know, calm him down. And Kyrie holds Royce back, like, yo, chill out. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Not so fast, my man. Not so fast. Let's see how.
Yo, I've never seen him like this before. Let's see what happens.
See what this leads to. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I never even seen Steve that amped, even when he got like checked to the fucking scores table by, you know, Robert Horry back in like 2005 and shit.
Oh, his eyes were bugging out of his head.
Out of his fucking
head. Yeah, but even the Robert Horry thing, it was just more of like, hey, buddy, what do you think you're doing?
How dare you?
This time it was just like, yo, you want to fucking go? Like, he was nuts, bro. He was going off.
Dude, that was very much so like Steve Nash being like, will you just fire me already?
All the frustration just came out in that moment, yeah.
He's like, this fine comes with me getting fired, right? Oh, no? It doesn't? Damn. All right.
Damn.
So, yeah, on the heels of all that nonsense, Kyrie decides he wants to, you know, promote a book on his Twitter. And, you know, Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets. By the way, I don't know what owner would actually, like, you know, put this out there before actually having a conversation with a player. So that's just an indication how great things are right now in Brooklyn.
Right.
Could you imagine Wick?
How you handle this,
right? Can you imagine Wick doing some shit like this, like, you know, disagreeing with something like Jaylen Brown put up on Twitter, like, and as an actual tweet himself, like, come on, dude. But anyways, you know, Tsai puts up puts up the tweet, you know, about how disappointed that, you know, Kyrie is appearing to support a film based on a book with anti-Semitic disinformation, and hope he understands how hurtful this is to all of us. And it's wrong to talk about hate based on race and ethnicity or religion. And then he subtweets that this is bigger than basketball, right? Which everything he says was, you know, you can agree with that, right? You can't say like, oh yeah, no, that's some bullshit what Joe said. No, that's an agreeable message. But then when Kyrie gets asked about it, about his tweet, then you had the whole Nick back and forth that he's not that big of a platform. You know, no one should take him, you know, that serious and things like that.
Right after he said it's important for us to promote these things on
exactly.
a platform.
Exactly. And that he's not anti-Semitic. And, you know, look, is Kyrie being Kyrie, like in terms of like not being self-aware of the things you say and the things you do, and then being questioned about it, and then getting upset that you're getting questioned about it? Like, it's the same shit with this guy, you know? So, like, it's kind of...
At this point, saying Kyrie being Kyrie is the same thing as saying Kanye being Kanye.
But, like, he's like, it's exhausting, dude, because it's like, the only thing he got from, like, all the backlash, I guess, so to speak, was like, oh, the anti-Semitic, like, label you're putting on me. It's like, no, like, what you're promoting is anti-Semitic, like, and for you to think that you're not promoting it, then why would you post the link on a platform that's followed by millions of people? Like, you get what I mean? Like, he's unaware of the things that he says and he does. And then he acts like he's the smartest guy in the room. And then,
so you don't have to, you're preaching to the choir right like, here, man. I think the whole thing is such Kyrie bullshit, and it just speaks to everything that I can't stand about the guy is just all coming out now, and it's on a like
good luck to Ime. Like if he ends up out there, good luck to him with that.
This was bound to happen is the way I look at it. Like Kyrie talking about stuff he has no clue on, thinking he's the smartest guy in the world.
Yeah, it's just it's just him trying to portray like he's above, you know, us peasants, that he's smarter than us. That's just
we're all pawns, we're all fools, and he's above us all. Yeah. But he's so above us that he can't enlighten us. It's like, dude, then what's the point? I just don't get it. And listen, I've been one of those guys that's like, what people do in their personal life, like, you know what I mean? Separating the art from the person. I've been a longstanding guy of that. I mean, you guys can both attest to that. You know, Kanye West, the stuff he's done in the past, and I'm just like, look, whatever he does, you know, I'm still listening to his music, whatever. I'm still going to respect his craft or whatever. But then with Kyrie, it's just like, you have an opportunity to explain yourself, but it's just like, no, I don't need to explain myself. You know, I'm just, okay, you don't need to explain yourself. Okay, fine. You don't want to let us know, you know, why you watched that film and why you decided to post or whatever. To get mad when Nick Friedell says that you're promoting or you're sponsoring, he's like, why do you keep saying, don't call? I'm like, dude, when you put something on your platform, you're co-signing it. It's like me, you know, when I went to the Pusha T show and you guys are like, oh, so you're a big Pusha T fan. What? What? Because I put it on my platform? I'm not a fan of that guy. And it's just like, well, okay, well, explain to us why you put that on your platform. And I'm just like, I don't need to do that. And it's just like, well, Nick Friedell as a reporter, that's his job. It's to find out the story. It's to, you know, you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But why get so defensive? And especially if it's something that a documentary that people have deemed as hate speech, you know, it's from a book that people have deemed as anti-Semitic. You should want to explain yourself.
Yeah, especially because
you should want to get in front of this thing. And no one is doing anything to you. Yeah. Like you yourself put it on that platform. Like, I don't understand this like lack of accountability. For someone who's been in the NBA this long, who's been doing stuff like this over and over again, and obviously you've ruffled some feathers with this one, and I think it's worth being questioned over. I really do.
It's not just that, like you know, he has no like self awareness of his actions, because like if he does or he says something and he's asked about it, he gets so mad, like, you know, like how dare you ask me about something that I posted.
Stop doing that baby voice. Why are you talking like that? I was like, Friedell would be like, I don't talk like that, Kyrie. So why did you just mock me like that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would be, oh man, like, Dude, I give Nick so much I give him so much respect for like not like making the sly little comic. I would have threw them in there as well. The way he questioned him was perfect, but the way Kyrie was talking over him, I would have pointed fun of that as well.
Yeah, like the thing that he didn't want to happen happened. Like, yeah, this went viral because of you, not because of the question, but because
why did you want to explain it? Why? In my opinion, it's because somebody might put him in his place, and yeah. I feel like he's afraid of that.
Yeah,
and for him in his own mind, it's like, oh, just going from being different from the norm and putting stuff up out there, playing seeds to make people think certain things. That's enough. I'm enlightened enough to do that, but I'll never explain myself. Nor will I ever go, back and forth with somebody who could call me out on my shit and point out facts and point out facts about my explanation that was going to make me look bad. Like, he just avoids that at all costs.
Yeah. And so, like, to the point where, like, the Nets have to, like, say he's not talking to the media in, like, the next game. And then you have fans.
Because they don't know what.
Exactly. Like, oh, and then you got.
I got something for this dude perfect that's going to put him in his place. Yeah. They don't want that.
You got fans in the next home game in a purple shirts in front row saying, stop being anti-Semitic. And like staring right at Kyrie, and Kyrie doesn't even want to look that way. So come on.
And also too, like a lot of like the hate that Kyrie gets, he does sometimes try to use his platform, the same one he said wasn't a platform or wasn't promoting something, to point out some meaningful things, especially in the Native American community that he's been sort of promote. And trying to support, he does it on the same platform. So it's like, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth and say that you're fighting for the Native American struggles in the United States and putting all that stuff on your platform and obviously promoting that agenda. And then you put
true.
A same platform about anti-Semitic and some guy that's come out and talked about you don't even want to know what this guy stands for that he promoted about school shootings and how they're like sometimes like there's a whole thing about.
Oh, you're talking about the Alex Jones thing?
Yeah.
Yo, when Nick brought up Alex Jones, you could see the anger just fill up his face, and he just goes, "That was weeks ago. So what, Kyrie? I don't care if it was 3 years ago. Like, can you explain yourself on this? Like, he sounds like a child sometimes. Man. I'm sorry, man.
He does.
You want to put me in that space of, oh, I'm a pawn and I'm just trying to be like everyone else. Like, all right, whatever, dude. Put me in that space because, look, this dude is a fraud. He's a fraud, man. Like, he's had so many opportunities to explain himself. And the bigger the issue, the bigger the news story that involves him, the more he shies away in doing that. So it's like, dude, go play your game somewhere else, man. You want to play that game? Go ahead, man. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, well, he's different and, we should just embrace the difference. No, fuck all that. If you can't explain yourself and you can't enlighten me, then keep it to yourself. Yeah. Or otherwise, you're going to be questioned for it whenever it pops up. Right?
And not only that,
that's what it is. Though.
Not only that, but take responsibility, take accountability.
He would never.
You know what I'm saying? For fucking, when it comes to freedom of speech, freedom of speech doesn't come without responsibility and accountability. Plain and simple.
Seriously.
Plain and simple.
Seriously. And I'm telling you, a lot of this has to do with someone pulling his car, someone putting him in this place. If he would really thoroughly explain himself and someone would be like, well, actually, Kyrie, I studied this and that for, dozens of years and it's actually like this and the person is right. Oh, his world would collide. He would come down. He would come crashing down. His world would come crashing down.
No, his world, he would fall off. He would fall off the world.
Let's rewind.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's rewind like 2 years. And do you remember, and I am no way, shape, or form defending this at all. I'm just trying to make a comparison. Do you remember when Drew Brees came out and said, all lives matter? It's the same thing.
I forgot all about that.
Thing. You should be out there saying, whoa, you are mistaken. You are now
spreading
some things that you don't actually understand, and you are going against a cause that is for justice and is the right thing to do. Yeah. And you know what? Drew Brees basically had to say sorry. And I don't know if it's the right thing that they didn't give him a second chance, but he basically had to be like, I'm just going to retire. That's it. I'm done. Like, I can't. I fucked up. Like, I'm just out. Like, I'm not coming back from this. And yeah. people,
it's like the dude. It's like the dude from. It's like the dude from Duck Dynasty. He just had to just
yeah. people still yeah. bring that time, and I understand. I understand.
Just walk away.
It is a different. I totally, fully understand that it is a different thing for Drew Brees, a white male in the United States, to be saying things he said. But like Kyrie, at the same time, just because like. You feel like you're fighting for causes that are undervalued in the United States, which I, you know, sometimes I will stand here and say good for Kyrie for saying that stuff. Like when you spread hate, you are spreading hate. Like that is just what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? You can't do that. And then right. because you're Kyrie Irving and you've stood for some things that maybe in the past, like, you know, were the right things to do that you can now. Do the same thing like Drew Brees was a huge charity supporter and giving yeah. back his time and all NFL
especially community. To New Orleans yeah
the whole thing with Katrina. He did everything for Katrina at that time, and then he, you know what, he fucked up and said something that he wasn't informed about, and he got absolutely crucified. And the same thing should be happening to Kyrie right now, and the fact that he's trying to weasel his way out of it just makes me just know that everything that I knew about that guy is just is right. Like it makes me so mad that he thinks he can get away with this type of stuff, but then everyone has to listen to him, which is so. Oh, it's
I get it, man. But nicely said. You know,
well, I did that all yeah. day. About.
I didn't want to have this dude hijack in case you missed it, but no, that was nice to say. A nice comparison there with good old Drew Brees. Though I don't think Drew Brees would appreciate it, but I get what you're saying.
I'm not trying to.
Buy I know what you mean. I was just fucking with you.
but I mean, to be honest, like, ain't nobody fucking with Drew Brees now. Like that, you know.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not trying.
Not to, even as an analyst.
Yeah. At any point, he was ever trying to be like, oh, how dare you. Misunderstand me, like I don't have to explain myself. Like he never did that.
Like, he came out and it was like, okay,
I
like,
fucked up. Yeah, yeah.
I was uninformed. I mean, dude, uninformed is as long as you then get informed, yeah. right? Everyone's gonna make mistakes.
Or you're willing to get informed. Or you're willing to learn. I get it.
Are you hard stanced at the point of saying no? I was right and you were wrong.
I don't have to get informed. I'm already informed. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a dangerous thing. It's yes. very dangerous.
Yeah.
Respect with his influence. It's not fair.
I agree. All right. In case you missed it, it's kind of a strange story here, you know, kind of switching gears a little bit. The San Antonio Spurs, they have released guard Josh Primo. The number 12 pick of.
Signed by the Nets.
No, he didn't. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm just messing with you.
This fucker.
The new PR team was just like, yo, let's just go nuts.
As if the Nets didn't have enough issues as it is this week. They want to, you know, take on a new challenge. But anyways, no, the San Antonio Spurs.
What's Javaris Crittenden doing right now, bro?
They released Josh Primo. They're number 12 pick from the 2021 draft. Based on multiple alleged instances of Mr. Primo exposing himself to women. Meanwhile, before that even came out as a report, the Spurs had released him. They didn't say why they released him. He came out and said, I've been dealing with some trauma in my life, some mental issues, and this is part of why, you know, I've asked for my release. Moments after that, then came out the stories of the alleged instances of exposing himself. So that's fucked up. That if he's used mental health as a kind of a cover up, thinking that the other stuff wasn't going to come out, that's fucked up.
Celtics did not fire or release Ime Udoka, right there.
But they're about to trade him. Well, kind of.
That shit comes out when you sever ties, man. I'm telling you.
Right, remember we spoke about this before, like, you know, the
well,
some skeletons are going to come out of the San Antonio Spurs closet at some point, right?
Well, apparently the I don't know if it's a trainer or the woman, that one of the accusers is supposed to come forward with her with her lawyer. They're going to do a press conference on Thursday, yeah. So I guess we'll get more information on this. But Yeah, man, that's not good. That's awful.
Not a good look. Not a good look.
Think about what the NFL is going through with certain players. Yeah,
can't be exposing your wang all willy nilly these days. It's just not.
Do these stories coming out ever like just sort of taint your childhood a little bit about like thinking that every sports player like cool and like awesome like
was a creep?
Yeah, man. I mean.
Well, I don't know because, like, this kid is what, 19, 20 years old? How long was he doing it before he actually got caught? Like, you know, yeah, that type of thing.
The way that now they're actually policing professional athletes, I think.
Are they really policing or are they just things that just leak out?
No. So it's important that at least there's some type of check because I feel like before, like, growing up in the 90s, I mean, I don't even want to. No.
Maybe after the fact. After the fact, right? The 90s was probably more like drugs and shit, but now it's like, eh.
I just feel like there's things that come out now that I'm sitting there like, what? This guy was a lottery pick and had like, and he's doing what?
San Antonio Spurs, for God's sakes. What are you doing?
Tim Popovich is like, absolutely not. Getting him out of here.
Tim Duncan. Is rolling in his grave right now.
Still alive, but okay. Okay, Chuck.
Absolutely, absolutely shocking, the stuff that's coming out. But yeah, you know what? I think it's going to be the new norm. I think like,
oh, Jesus. Well,
not the new norm.
He's like, let me take that back. Not the new norm, but.
No, not the new norm.
Yeah, you guys, you just got to deal with it. You know?
Not the, like when you're a scouting player, they're like, all right, did he, expose himself at any point during his college time?
But
one freshman year.
That's what I'm trying to get at. It's like, I think there's going to be much more of a focus on character and like people that are actually good for the league because. The NBA can't turn into the NFL. If it turns into the NFL, I don't know if it can support that type of the NFL is the most powerful thing in the United States, basically. Like, you know, them and the NRA. But like outside of that, like the NBA, I don't think it can survive if it has these type of stories that keep coming out. You got Ime, you got Primo, like what's next?
What's next? I don't know, fucking
just saying.
And so far, you know, if there's like a superstar that comes out with some shit like this, then maybe
well, you're onto the something. NFL.
Yeah, the NFL. That's
the NFL,
you're right.
Because certain players are protected.
But, Deshaun Watson.
They get a slap on the wrist. Yeah, Deshaun Watson's got that huge ass contract.
But the thing with football though, especially in the South,
yeah, a dozen new accusers come forward.
Especially in the South, like in high school, like these players are there. They can do whatever the fuck they want, and then they go on through life thinking that's how they can function.
Yeah.
So
it's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot that can come out. I think, the fact that it's coaches and young players is one thing, but I think you're right. Like that first big shocking story. That breaks on a superstar at the NBA. Like, I don't know how that's going to go for the NBA because they've had a lot. I just don't know if they can handle that as much as, you know, the NFL can because they're trying to be the most progressive league in the United States and they have been. And I think it's credit to them. But I mean, the more these stories come out, the more, I mean, you just had Sarver, you had Ime and you had Primo come out in basically like a 2 month span.
Yeah.
No, I know if you're Adam Silver, you gotta be hoping that that Sarver is the last old racist owner. You know, it's like, do we get them all? Are we good?
Racist, you know,
get them all out of here.
Misogynistic,
yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Well, like in terms of like that, the like persona, right? Like the old like school, like oh, he's always had these opinions. No one's gonna change them now.
Right? It's a different time,
guys, I think, for the most part. Yeah, it's a different time.
It's
right?
A different time.
The Donald Sterling, they're just like, wait, no, that wasn't that bad. He said, you know, it's like, wait, no, we're in a different era, man. Like, yeah. You can't get away with this shit. What do you mean they were? What do you mean someone was recording that conversation? Like, they, you know, those guys. Like,
they had me on tape.
Yeah, like you hope that they got them all out by now. But we'll see. Yeah.
All right, and
I think the difference between the NBA and the NFL is that yeah, they are trying to get those people out where.
Yeah, NFL, they haven't even thought about that. They're like, what's wrong with What's wrong with Sid? Sid's fine. You know, he's 67. He's been with us for 28 years. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, you trust me. Look at the Tennessee owner. I mean, Jerry Jones has had like 75 sexual abuse accusations against him in his career, and he's still running.
That's a good point.
And like Kraft, right? Like, you know, even Kraft, like the whole thing. Like,
hey, what do you mean? He's the adulterer, no?
Not even. That's a whole separate thing.
Hey.
You mean like living above the law type of thing? I guess
that story breaks about Wick Grosbeck. You don't think he's out as the owner in a minute in the NBA?
That would be crazy.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying.
Well, listen.
They both like to hang out with Meek Mill.
So. No, I mean with Kraft, it was different because like that massage parlor was linked to like sex trafficking. So then, you know, it becomes a whole.
How much involved
were you? Exactly. How much did you know about it? You know, that type of shit. Then that's.
I'm still no, Joel. That shit comes out about an NBA owner.
No, I get it. I understand what you're saying. But
like, they're out.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, in case
this is that. Joel doesn't want to agree with you, but you're right. I said you're right.
But I was saying because Sway said, because he's adulterer. I go, no, it's not even that. It's more because. Prostitution is still breaking the law, but then this is also connected to sex trafficking, which is even worse. That's what I mean, I'm getting at.
I think, yeah, both are not good for
both public. Are not good. Yeah, I know, but this is like this can be like federal and other shit. But anyway,
yeah.
All right. Last but not least, in case you missed it, the NBA, they announced that they are rescinding the 76ers second round draft picks in each of 2023 and 2024 drafts after their findings following an investigation. When it came to tampering involving two free agents that they signed, PJ Tucker and Daniel House Jr.
Jeez.
So,
they also got off.
They really wanted those guys, huh?
Right. They got off on Harden, though. They said no wrongdoing was done on Harden.
They said no wrongdoing was done with Harden, but I mean, that was a trade, and then they, you know, gave him an extension or whatever. But according to the NBA, the team fully cooperated with the investigation. My question is, why wasn't there any investigation when they signed Al Horford back in 2019? But
yep. You ain't wrong.
So, you know, according to the NBA,
they
violated league rules governing the timing of their free agents discussions, you know, in the offseason or before the offseason. So
speaking of Philly, how long does Doc have left on that team?
This might be it. That'd be his last.
Yeah, this is the last season. Yeah. What's this, season three? Is this number three for him, right?
Yeah, win or lose, this is it.
You think he's making it?
I think he's almost overstayed his welcome, but they're optimistic. We'll see.
You think they're going to keep him around this season?
I mean, if they weren't able to extend James Harden, then he probably would have been fired like sometime in this season. But
yeah, I think he finishes the year.
You know who's probably one of the top NBA head coaches, head coaching candidates out there is Doc
Snyder,
Sam Cassell. I mean,
oh yeah, he's not on anyone's staff right now.
He's been waiting for it. He's primed to take over whatever.
No, he's on Doc's staff.
Yep.
Well, he still has a job though, right? But he's ready to take over. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. He's definitely still working. Yeah. You know what's interesting too? You just reminded me now. Speaking of assistants, Ime's assistants. They're like, whoa, now we're just stuck here in Boston. We're on the contract now. Like, if Ime goes to Brooklyn, who's going to be his dogs? Who's he running with? Like,
whoever's there now. That's what it is. It's like Vaughn and Jack Vaughn and whoever else is there.
Yeah, I guess so. Exactly. Yeah, they're all in the contract.
Right? They're like, they're going to tell Ime, you're in no position to ask who you can bring in and who you can let go. Like, yeah. We're bringing you in, so just be happy with that.
Jack Vaughn about to have
the and work. Yes, we let go of our female assistant.
That's fucked up. You will be having a male travel secretary. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, jeez Louise.
alleged. But anyways, that's going to do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Check us out on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for all your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. And of course, the conversation continues over at Causeway After Hours. That's on Patreon. Subscribe to patreon.com/causeway for exclusive content. You can enjoy the Causeway After Show podcast. plus Sway's 101 podcast, where he's talking to NBA players and coaches, and he's opening up the vault.
That's right.
But he's got a one-on-one with Ime coming up.
He said Ime Udoka. That would have been a great, great plug, actually.
He's afraid.
Never mentioned a single player.
He's afraid to release that one because he doesn't know. You know, I'm just kidding. Nah, he doesn't have one. That'd be cool.
Before the new episodes, I'm like, yo, make sure you mention it. You know, like, I don't know, Kobe Bryant, Marcus Smart. Joe's like, yeah. Not a single message once ever mentioned about those guys. But yeah, those are some of the conversations you hear.
Did you get a one-on-one with Marcus, or was that a scrum?
Yes, I did. I did. I actually had a couple one-on-ones. In season one, that was one of my favorite ones because it was about an injection that happened on the road, but he had just got back from it. So he cooled off a bit, but yeah, he was still fired up enough to talk about it. So we talked about that. He talked about how it's just his reputation in the NBA, and a lot of good stuff out of that one. And then the latest one was good too, that came out as well. So yeah, I got a couple of them.
Yep.
Oh, no, wait, no.
Yeah, part two with Muggsy, right?
Part two of Muggsy just came out. But no, the other one I'm thinking about with Marcus is he talks about his the pregame playlist. He gives me some certain artists and songs and you know, got to be on point before the game. So he gives me some of his artists that he goes to get him pumped up for the game.
If you want people to listen to it, you got to get Luke Cornett's playlist on there, bro.
If it's out of the ordinary, which it might be, I think that'd be worth it. Luke who strikes me as some guy who probably listens to like the same stuff everyone else listens to. Everyone's going to be like,
Nah, I feel like he listens to like
that was a letdown.
I feel like he listens to like Andre Bocelli or some shit like that before games.
Luke Cornett's assistant of a down guy.
Yeah, these kids don't even know about the gods, about the legends.
He definitely bumps Alice in Chains, Nirvana, and System of a Down. That's how he's getting ramped up.
You think?
He must have
an older sibling.
So yeah, so you know, check us out there. Patreon.com/Causeway. Subscribe and support the Causeway Street Podcast. And if you haven't already, check out episode 300 with Cedric Maxwell. That was a doozy. That was a good one. That's one of my favorites.
That was one of my favorite interviews. You are one lucky guy to be able to interview and talk to that guy because he just goes, man. We talking about that after the thing. It's like keeping up with him, man. It's like, yo, I think I'm popcorn brain, dude. That dude just goes. Whatever he's thinking
about. Imagine hosting a show with him. When you have to direct the conversation, it's like you got a really picky spot.
He's like, no, I know. I understand. But what about just whatever comes to his mind. It's great.
I did like how when I brought up the Stevie Wonder thing, he was like, so, hold on. Are you asking me?
Like on the record, yeah, that was the funniest part of it. Can Stevie see?
Yeah, hey, that's Stevie.
He's like, I'll talk about email all day, but I'm not even touching that one. You know, so it's Stevie. So check out episode 300 with Cedric Maxwell if you haven't already. You know, until next time, we'll see y'all on the flip side. All right, peace out.
Absolutely,
peace.